From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. You can check out our podcast there, pick up our sponsors. Great folks like Lucky Buck Deer Minerals, Scentlock, HHA Sports, Costa, Sunglasses, MUCC, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, helping us all out and helping get the word out to you on a weekly basis. And thanks to Alex Clark for getting us running this morning. Had a fishing charter over the weekend. Lucky Dog Charters out of Sebring, Michigan. Our good friend Jim Lucky Miller, of course, he's with Countryside Kennels and Lucky Dog Charters. Had the opportunity to go out with some friends. Our good friend Dave Chevalier from Crossbow Warriors. Rich Goulish, my girlfriend Sarah Marie. And we had a special person not really there for the fishing, but she was there to film for Michigan Out of Doors. I'm talking about Jenny Olson, and she joins us right now on the show. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Duran. How are you?
Long time no talk.
Yes, exactly. I'm actually just sitting here watching your mug on my footage here on my computer.
Yeah,
some walleyes.
And you cannot and you can't describe that any better than that. The the mug.
Oh, we had a blast out there, didn't we?
Oh, we did. It was a lot of fun, and I mean, it was. We had some times of good cover and some good chop, and then we had the still times where it got really warm, and you know, and that's pretty much where we called it. But what I found out is the day before our charter, that was your 16th anniversary with Michigan Out of Doors.
That's right.
Holy
I think
smokes.
I started when I was like 14 years old.
I think so. Jimmy was like 30 at that time. Maybe a little older.
Right.
And he took you in to Michigan Out of Doors TV. But before we get to how that started, where did you start before that? I mean, because we've known you on Michigan Out of Doors. You become a part of the fabric on the show. But you had to start somewhere before then.
Right, and honestly, it's hard for me to believe. I'm sure it'll be hard for everybody to believe, but I was 30 when I started working on the TV show.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
So I did do a little bit of work before that, but actually, I got my degree from Michigan State in accounting, of all things, and then I realized, for me, accounting was a little too boring to do for a career. So in the meantime, my stepdad, who raised my brothers and I and taught us all how to hunt and fish and develop a passion for that. He also had a machine shop, so I was working at the machine shop and helping him run the business when I decided at the young age of 30 that I did not want to do that anymore either. So I actually wanted to write a book. I love writing, so I thought I'd be an outdoor writer. I was going to start a hunting book, and I thought it'd be fun to go somewhere and hunker down for a few months and get started on the book. And without any distractions. So I picked Key West because I thought that would be a nice distraction-free place to write. And I know Hemingway wrote a couple of books there. So I headed down to Key West, rented a place for 4 months. I was there for 5 weeks when one of my good friends from Michigan called me and said he was watching Michigan Out of Doors and that Claudia Hitchcock had just announced that she was leaving the show. She was the co-host at the time. And she announced that she was leaving and that they were looking for somebody new to fill her shoes. And so my good friend Matt Stutt called me and talked me into applying for the job. Never in a million years did I think I'd actually get the job. But I did.
Now, who was the host at that time? Was Jimmy hosting at that time?
No, he was not. Jimmy had just come on a few months earlier. Boy, we kind of need a little matrix or Venn diagram or something to look at this all. But Bob Gardner had picked up and kept running with the Michigan Out of Doors TV show after Fred Trost kind of went through that legal issue and stepped down for a while. So Bob picked up the show, partnered up with MUCC. He started hosting it, and he was with a lady named Abby at the time, Abby Burke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Claudia came on and hosted with Bob for a number of years. Bob left. and a few months before I started, and Jimmy was hired on, but he was hired on as like our third person. James Ford, who was the camera person at the time, he bumped up to host with Claudia. So it was, then I came out, so I was hosting with James, and then after about a year, James left, and Jimmy bumped up to the host position. So, yeah, it's just kind of been a, it's been pretty stable the last several years, but yeah, for a while there, we were kind of, it was a shell game there with people moving around and fighting into different positions on the show.
Sure. Speaking with Jenny Olson from Michigan Out of Doors TV here on Wild Michigan, it was funny because when we were in conversation, so many people that have watched the show for so long all remember Mort Neff. But the guy that I remember more than anybody, was aside from Fred, was Jerry Chipetta.
And yes.
You ever remember Jerry?
Yes.
And I did a Facebook search for him, and I found a guy that looks just like him, but the hair was silver instead of that jet black hair that Jerry had. And I just, I kind of wanted to send a message asking, but you know, you kind of feel weird about it. So right. I never did. But so the mystery remains.
It had to be him. How many other Jerry DeSantis could there possibly be on Facebook?
Exactly. But 16 years is what you've is, you know, the time you've been on there. And I remember Mr. Ford being on there because, if I'm correct, he's got a twin brother.
That's right.
And he's married to the sister of a buddy of mine. So that's how this all ties in with me knowing. Because I remember looking at the TV going, wait a minute, that's not Tim.
Well, and I think it added to the confusion because people still are a little confused. So Mort Neff started the show back in the 1950s. He did it for a number of years with Howard Shelley. And then Jerry DePetta took over the show. And then after Jerry, it was Fred Trost. And Fred and Bob Garner worked together on the show when Fred owned it. And James and his twin brother John were the cameramen and producers of the show. So then when it, all that confusing stuff happened with Fred and Bob kind of went his separate way, he took James with him, and I believe Fred started up the Practical Sportsman, and John Ford went with him for a while. So like people were already confused enough about what show is this and, you know, who's running it, and then they have the identical twin thing going on, too, that didn't help. But it's so much fun to be a part of Michigan Out of Doors and to just be able to carry on the legacy here in Michigan that was started. You know, I don't think that if Jimmy Gretzinger and I were hosting a different show by a different name, it would have nearly the popularity. I think it's such a huge tradition that's ingrained in the sportsmen and women here in Michigan, and it's, you know, something you do on Thursday night or Saturday morning.
Thursday night, that was always the time that we sat around the TV and Jerry or Fred or you and Jimmy or Bob. I mean, it's all been a very welcome group of folks. It's not been, you know, a bunch of short timers coming in on the show and making their way for something else. It's been a very close-knit group, and we've watched you guys on there for so long. And what people in Michigan, I think, like more than anything is that things don't drastically change.
Right.
You know, it's just something that is here in Michigan that we like. We like stuff where it belongs, and we don't like it to move. So Thursday nights is a big time for family to get in front of the TV and to see what's going on around our state without all the flash and everything that so many TV shows bring.
That's the key, and we stay in Michigan. On occasion, we might, you know, fish Lake St. Clair or the Detroit River on the Canada side. That's about the extent of it. Or we might, you know, Lake Erie into Ohio, but we stay in Michigan and do things that most everybody from Michigan could do in a day.
All right, so. We're speaking with Jenny Olson here on Wild Michigan. Going to speak more with her in the next segment. Lots more coming your way, things you may or may not have known. And we'll talk a little bit about that fishing trip because we're going to speak with Lucky Miller from Lucky Dog Charters about that trip and about some of the unluck he has had this year with weather, as everybody's been experiencing a lot of rain, making some of the big water fishing difficult and even some of the small water fishing difficult. Wild Michigan Radio.com is the website, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan. Go to lucky-buck.com for all the rules and regs on how you can use Lucky Buck.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com, where you can find links to HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery sight technology. Great stuff, man. We're using their new products. And you can check them out at wildmichiganradio.com. Click on our sponsors link, and you can go directly to hhasports.com from there. Back with Jenny Olson from Michigan Out of Doors Television. Jenny, we had a conversation about people that we know together in the outdoors. And some of the, a couple of names that you brought up really kind of surprised me. Now, I know that I think everybody in outdoors radio and television has a connection with Ted Nugent,
right?
And you've had the opportunity to work with Ted, which what a lot of people, and I've said this often to many people, is Ted off camera and microphone is different than Ted on. It's like a light switch. And tell me if it is that kind of different, isn't it?
It really is. That's the number one question I get from people when they find out that I worked for him for a while, is he really that crazy in person? And he's fun. He's always the entertainer, and he's high energy and a hard worker for sure. But there is a little bit more of a calmness to him when he's not on a stage or has a microphone in front of his face, I say.
No, it is. It's funny, the conversations. I wish we had, time to air the conversations we had off air. But then again, it might lose something in translation. People might go, oh, really? God, that's kind of boring. Which it's not really boring. It's just he's being normal. You cannot be on 24/7.
No, but he's still so hilarious, I think. I mean, he and I are both Seinfeld fans, and we would sit up in the tree stand when things were slow and just kind of quote Seinfeld episodes and laugh. And he's pretty funny. I always told him that if the rock and roll thing doesn't work out, he could probably be either an attorney or a comedian.
Yeah, I could see both, to be honest with you. And that explains now why my Seinfeld reference on the boat really kind of hit home.
That's right. I love that show. I know, like, the last original aired episode was, 20 years ago?
Yeah. I still watch them like they're new. I know. Jenny Olson's our guest here. Jenny, you also had the opportunity to work with Fred and Michelle Eichler, two people that I really admire in the business, because Fred is probably one of the most genuine people in the outdoors industry that I've had the opportunity of meeting. I mean, there's a lot of them, but Fred just has this way of coming across very personable with everyone. And what people don't understand about Michelle is how tough she really is.
Yeah, they're both the real deal. Just down-to-earth people, work their tails off every minute of every day that they're awake. And they love life. They enjoy it. They have two television shows that are on the Sportsman Channel. They have Predator Nation and Easton Bowhunting TV. So they run those. They have a guide and outfitter service that goes probably 9 months out of the year. They're guiding and hunting things that's from their house there in Colorado. They have a whole herd of cattle now that they ranch and brand and do all the things to those. And they're just moving all the time. So they're really fun people to hang out with, for sure.
Absolutely. Jenny Olson, our guest from Michigan Out of Doors TV. Some of the changes that Michigan Out of Doors has gone through, and we've talked with our friends, Drew Youngdyke and the guys over at MUCC about how we've had to evolve, that we can't just be television. We can't just be radio. We have social media. We have to have video and things on our website. A lot of things to keep people entertained. And Michigan Out of Doors Television has built that as well. You guys have come along that same way with your social media and with video, posting video for people to watch online.
Sure, that's true. Yeah, we're on our, Jimmy, Jordan, and I, and Gabe, who helps out part-time, we're all on, we try to pop on Facebook on a daily or semi-daily basis, throw up a couple pictures, let everyone know where we are, what we're up to, and what's going to be on the show, in the next couple of weeks. And people love that, seem to chime in on that. They'll, share a lot of their own photos of successes that they've had in the outdoors on our Michigan Out of Doors TV Facebook page. And then on our website, I think most people go that you can go there for wild game recipes, a little bit of history of the TV show, but we have an episode page on there. And every week, Jimmy posts our TV show. The day before it even airs on TV, he posted up there our current week's episode, and it stays up there. We just keep a running archive of all the shows. I think we've got probably 4 or 5 years worth of shows on there now. So that's kind of fun. And people love that, if they're out of state, or if they've moved away, they can still catch the show. You know, if you're on, you know, like you will be on July 9th, catching some walleyes, and, you know, your grandma down in Arkansas wants to see it, if she has internet access down there in Arkansas, she can log on and watch it. So that's kind of fun.
Now, what's really nice, too, about Michigan Out of Doors Television is not only are you on the internet, but you air in other states as well.
Yeah, we do. I think we're in, I know we're in Chicago now. We're in a little bit in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, a little bit in Illinois, and then the entire Canadian cable system picks us up, too. So we once in a while will get emails from Newfoundland and Labrador, and I think we're in Alaska now. So people are actually watching us Michiganders all over the place now. So that's kind of fun.
It is, because it equates, you know, what we do. People, you know, that move. People that move from Michigan still want to see their little slice of home and see what's going on. Or even the people in Michigan want to see what's going on around the area. You know, sometimes it may be something we missed, but it'll come back next year. It'll be another event next year. And that's what I like watching. Why I like watching Michigan Outdoors TV is because there's a lot of things on there like, oh, I didn't know that was here.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of fun. The whole job is just so much fun. I mean, today I'm not out in the woods or on the water. I'm sitting at a desk editing. But guess what? I'm watching footage of people catching fish. That's the hardest part of my job, and it's pretty darn fun. So I think that's what one of the key components about the popularity of this show that's kept it on for 60-plus years now and keeps people watching is that it's not about Jimmy or Jordan or I. It's, you know, we are, our mugs are on there every week at the beginning and the end of the show usually, but it's about different regular down-to-earth average Joe and Jane hunters and fishermen across the state. Every week we meet somebody new and talk to somebody new and hear their story and follow them around. So I think that's the part that kind of keeps it interesting for people, too. There's not too many of us like Ted Nugent or Fred Eichler that can carry a half-hour show every week, and you know, it's them on the show doing stuff every week. It has to be a certain personality to do that, and only a couple people I know can do that. So, yeah, we like to have different folks on every week and keep it flowing.
Well, you know, you said the exact words that have come out of my mouth time and time again is personality. And I'll look, this is me saying this, and I won't back down from this statement. You've got five networks, you've got 500 shows, and so few have people with personalities on them. You know,
I agree.
It's very difficult to watch. I don't watch outdoors television anymore because we've been so saturated with bad programming, with people throwing money at these guys. And I know it's going to make a lot of people mad. Frankly, I don't care, because if the quality was there, I wouldn't have anything to complain about. And this is why I'm very thankful to have Michigan Outdoors Television on TV Thursday nights on your local PBS station. Jenny Olson, congratulations on 16 years, and thanks so much for joining us here.
Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, looking forward to talking to you again. July 9th, you can check out Wild Michigan along with Michigan Out of Doors PBS Thursday night. It's time for Michigan Out of Doors on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. He is Alex Clark, pushing the buttons, making it all work. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by Costa Sunglasses. Clearly, they're truly the clearest lenses on the planet, man. I've been using these things for a month and a half, almost 2 months now. Absolutely love them. Had them out on Saginaw Bay with Lucky Dog Charters. Jenny Olson and everybody out there had a great time, and we passed them around. People not using Costas were quite surprised as the difference of what you can see. And again, there's a link on our sponsor page, wildmichiganradio.com. And again, I encourage you to check them out. Got to talk a little bit about archery right now. We are speaking with Nick View, president of the Michigan Longbow Association. Nick, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Duran.
Not at all. And thanks to Tracy Belowski and Dave over at St. Joe River Bows, because they had posted something about an event you have coming up, which we will talk about coming up here in a little bit. But she's been creating by hand. She is Michigan's only female bowyer that I know of. And there is a huge resurgence of traditional archery in not only in Michigan, but all over the world.
Absolutely. Yep, we've noticed that.
So what do you think is, you know, the reason behind it? I mean, we talk about where compound bows have gone, and it's kind of like, you know, the Kenny Bernstein Top Fuel equation. This is kind of how I look at it. Once you've broke 300, it's kind of hard to go anywhere else. I mean, you can tweak it. You can go a little faster, but, you know, you're going to lose accuracy in these bows. So you get kind of bored. Companies are starting to make weird things on their bows now, but they're not really doing anything different. And people want a challenge, so they're going back to traditional archery. So, I mean, is that what you're seeing with the Michigan Longbow Group?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of theories on whether or why traditional archery is coming back and traditional bow hunting is coming back the way it is. And I've always kind of been of the opinion, and this is kind of what I've observed, is that, well, there's a couple things. For one, archery has been in the media more than it has been in the past. A couple years ago, you had a few key movies come out, you know, with The Hunger Games. You had the new Robin Hood movie out. You had The Avengers with Hawkeye. You had all kinds of stuff. That Arrow TV show came out, and it might seem like it doesn't have an impact, but it does. I mean, you know, the kids see this stuff, and they want to try a bow and arrow. Anytime the media, you know, has bows and arrows in it, traditional bows and arrows, I mean, you're going to see a spike somewhere, so that's part of it. And then the other part of it is that you're absolutely right. With traditional archery, the way it's been going, with, you know, faster, better, more technology, you know, everything like that, I think, and then with all the technology at your fingertips these days with phones and iPads and everything else, people want to cut loose from that every once in a while. And it's starting to get cool to do things with your hands again and to get outside and to not be dependent on the technology, to cut that out, to unplug, you know, to go backpacking, to go hunting, to forage, whatever you're going to do, make things with your hands. And archery's got all of that. And that's one of the reasons, biggest reasons, I believe, that people are gravitating towards it. They want something different. And actually, there's a third thing, too, and that's just finding things to do with your family that don't involve technology. I mean, kids these days, I mean, our generation's foreign to technology. They're born into technology. So they are basically, you know, just, they know how to work a phone. My daughters know how to work a phone and an iPad. I never showed them how to do that. They figured it out, and they're 2 and 5.
Sure.
They're up at the TV slashing at it to try to get it to interact with them. It's kind of funny to watch and to get mad when they don't. And basically, I think parents see that and get a little spooked, especially the generation that spent their time outside. I was outside all the time, and I don't like seeing that. They're just like ghosts in front of the TV, so I'm looking for good stuff to do. And you know, archery's got camping elements. It's got, you know, woodsmanship elements. There's a little something for everybody there.
Speaking with Nick View, president of the Michigan Longbow Association. Nick, a couple of weeks ago, I picked up my bow for the first time since late October, set up my target, paced off 20 yards. And this is not a brag in any way, but it's just a testament to the technology. Drew back 4 shots, all bullseye at 20 yards. You cannot do that with traditional archery. This is not something that you can set down for 8 months and then pick back up and be right on target again.
No, absolutely not. That's one of the hardest things about the traditional bow, is that you need to shoot weekly, and some people need to shoot daily. It's not something you can pick up. And I mean, yeah, you could set it down for a little bit, you know, go and pick it back up and shoot and remember, like riding a bike, but if you want to keep those groupings tight, and if you want to hit that animal in October, then you have to be totally confident in doing that. And because traditional archery, the way we shoot in particular, traditional bow hunters, there's no sight. It's bare bow. So you have to program that in your head, and you can only do that by doing it consistently and by having constant practice. If you have a, it's a lot of muscle memory and programming your brain. If you have a bow and a certain kind of arrow, and you shoot that all the time, and you practice with it all the time, you've got that flight of that arrow programmed in your head. So you know the elevation, you know the left and rights, you know all that stuff. You know what that bow is going to do. Now, if you do something as small as change your point weight or change the arrow or change the bow, you've got to reset yourself back up. And, you know, some people can do that on the fly if they shoot all the time, you know, just a couple shots at the range. Other people, it takes a while. So whenever you do that, you know, it's just a test. It'll show you. It's a testament that you need to keep practicing to remember that arrow flight and to hit the woods and know that you're going to hit what you're shooting at, especially when there's a lot of anxiety and all that, and a lot of pressure when those situations happen. It's definitely not a very smart thing to do with the traditional equipment to just not touch it for a long time and then go into the woods and think you're going to do something with it. It ends up being an unethical result.
Exactly. Nick View is the president of Michigan Longbow Association. MichiganLongbow.org is their website. Nick, a couple minutes left in this segment. The difference between, I own both a recurve and a reflex deflex, not a standard longbow, but the difference between the two, between the recurve and a longbow, is, from what I understand, that a longbow tends to stack up a little bit more on the draw, and there's not a lot of hold time involved. Not like we do, especially with compound bows.
Well, traditional bows in general don't have a lot of hold time. I mean, I know people that can hold for a long time, and, you know, when you're in the woods and you got a deer might walk behind a tree or something like that, you'd be surprised how long you can hold it. But most of the time, you know, that arrow's going within 3 seconds. So it doesn't really matter the kind of bow that you're shooting in regards to the hold time. There's no let-off, so that's all in your back and all in your fingers. So, you know, there's that. But between a recurve and a longbow, the primary difference is actually these days is that the string on a longbow does not make contact with the belly of the bow at the tips. Our recurve actually does. Now, the modern reflex-deflex longbows has improved cast at shorter draws and making smoother draws. And you'll see some bows, like the St. Joe's, have a more of a forward handle, so that you can make a shorter bow and have it feel like a longer bow on your fingers and less stack and things like that. Now, to avoid that on a longer bow, or actually to avoid that on a normal D-style bow, which is basically, we call it a hill-style bow, which is just a flat bow where there's no curve in the limbs when you unstring it, and it forms a D when you do, you want a longer bow to avoid something like that. So your traditional longbows are generally a lot longer, you know, 62 on up, and a lot of them in the 66, 64, 66, even 68 range, because that improves your cast and feels the best on your fingers. The angle's not as severe. So recurve, you can go a lot shorter.
Sure.
Because it helps out your fingers and stuff like that. But even with a recurve, if you're a longer guy with a bigger guy with a longer draw, a bigger woman with a longer draw, taller.
Nick View is joining us here on Wild Michigan. We're going to speak more with Nick next on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Weissen, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, your host. Oh, man, it's been a fun week already. Making our way towards the weekend here. Brought to you by MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, our newest member of the family of sponsors here on Wild Michigan, and they are helping us out, bringing you the message that we love so much about the outdoors. We'll be talking more about the MUCC and an event they have coming up as well, but we're going to come back to Nick View of the Michigan Longbow Association. MichiganLongbow.org is his website. Nick, before I so rudely cut you off for commercials, you were talking about the longbow versus the shorter recurve, but give me again the information on what the draw stack is on a longbow as it gets longer
Well, there's a difference between stack and finger pinch, and what you're going to notice the most with a shorter bow is that it doesn't feel as good on your fingers. I mean, the angle of that string is going to pinch your fingers when you pull it back. Stack is when the bow is actually adding poundage as you pull the bow back past your draw length is pretty much. And some bows stack really hard, some bows don't. I mean, it depends on how well tillered the bow is and how well made the bow is. But there is a difference between the two. Recurves are able to eliminate the stack with a shorter bow just by design, but the finger pinch is still there. So the shorter the bow, the more you're going to pinch, especially if you've got a longer draw, it's really important to select whatever kind of bow you're going to shoot. It's really important to get your draw length down and then pick the recommended length for your draw length. For me, I'm 6'3", I've got really long arms. You know, I'd never shoot anything below a 62, regardless of design. That's personal preference, just because it would feel like murder on my fingers. And, you know, the further you get back there beyond 28, you know, it's going to add poundage to the 2 or 3 pounds. That's pretty much the difference.
So, I mean, it's, again, this is like everything else. It's, you know what you're comfortable with, find out what fits you best. And there's not a ton of traditional archery places like there are, you know, some of the big box stores or things like that where you're not going to get the service. Where do you recommend to find the perfect longbow or recurve?
You know, I think you got to try stuff out. I mean, you can go to a big box store like Cabela's and stuff sells that kind of thing now. But you really, I mean, we got some killer local shops here in Michigan. There's not that many of them, though. We got Lost Nation Archery, and we've got some other stores like that, some smaller stores. The best thing you can do is come out to an event where vendors set up and try their bows. We've got more bowyers in Michigan. I mean, we got a ton of great bowyers. And, I mean, they all set up at these shoots, and they've got bows. There's production bows and there's custom bows, and you can try them. And then there's the traditional archery community is so generous. When you go to these things, most people will let you shoot their bow. You really ought to try something before you buy it. Sure, you could go buy a cheap takedown recurve or something like that, or a longbow, a cheap longbow, production model longbow. But in the end, you've got to really figure out what fits you and try some things out before you take that plunge, or you're going to just keep spending money to find what you like.
Sure.
But there's places to order online too. There's Three Rivers Archery, and places like that. There's a couple big events. There's one that the Calum at the end of that one has a ton of vendors there, including production vendors like Bear Archery and people like that. But I highly recommend, I mean, you can buy online, you can go to a shop. I'd highly recommend going to a shop first. And going to a shop that really specializes in traditional archery. And all you got to do is do a couple searches for your area to figure that out.
Nick View is our guest. He is the president of the Michigan Longbow Association. MichiganLongbow.org is the website. And there's some events coming up to Michigan, not too far from me here in Lansing, in Hastings at historic Charlton Park on August 7th through Sunday, August 9th. You have the Great Lakes Longbow Invitational, and that's going to be a big event.
Oh, absolutely. We've had as high as 1,500 people there, and back in the heyday, there was a heck of a lot more than that.
So what is going to go on with this event at the Great Lakes Longbow Invitational?
Well, I guess the question is, what isn't going to go on at the event? We do a lot of stuff there. Charlton Park's a great location. It's on the lake, and it's nice and long. There's lots of areas. We've got three 3D courses there. One's dedicated to kids, so the targets are shorter. We got a kids range, so you can bring your kids there, and there'll be coaches there and volunteers, and we bring our bows and arrows there, so if they don't have one, they can shoot them there. We've got our big events, the Silver Arrow and the Youth Silver Arrow, which is kind of like a Robin Hood style event where you have the big, huge target butts, Olympic style, and you start off at 10 yards and you keep walking it back, and everybody on the line gets 3 arrows per crack, and if you don't get any inside the middle circles, you're eliminated. There's the Sherwood Challenge, which is kind of like a medieval themed shoot where you got a couple. We always got a different theme. Sometimes it's pirates, sometimes it's knights, stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. We got turkey shoots, which is clay breaking at 5 yards, and it's kind of like a speed kind of deal. But then we're going to have the Cuervo Strong Challenge this year, which is four man teams running an obstacle course and shooting targets. We also got tomahawk throwing and all kinds of stuff. And then of course we've got vendors and aerial shooting and all kinds of stuff with foam discs. It's just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I've run the Camp Cuervo Strong challenge before. Mind you, I was not terribly fast at it, but I did manage to hit the target, which was good. It was a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, I actually haven't done it yet. I'm hoping to get my chance. When we had it at the GLOI, that was kind of before my time, and it's back now, and that should be a good addition on Friday.
Now, if the website's got all of your events, and that, again, is michiganlongbow.org to get people involved, people that may have questions, to see what's going on in the world of traditional archery. And when we talked with Jenny Olson a little bit ago here on the show, we were talking about Fred Eichler, who's a friend of hers and somebody I've had the opportunity to meet numerous times, very big into traditional archery, and probably what I would consider probably one of the best spokesmen in the industry for it as well.
Hey, he's a heck of a storyteller, too, from what I hear. I haven't had a chance speak, but I've read plenty of his articles.
Yeah, he is quite an individual. You also have the Lapeer Bowman's Traditional Archery Rendezvous and the Fred Bear Memorial Broadhead Shoot. Explain what that is, what the Fred Bear Shoot is.
Well, basically, the Memorial Broadhead Shoot, that's a Michigan bow hunters event, and broadhead shoots are a lot of fun. Broadhead shoots are basically where people want to tune up for the season, and you don't get a whole lot of opportunities to shoot your broadheads. They're really hard on targets and whatnot, and only a few places have it set up so you can shoot them. So what they end up doing is, I believe, it's usually a cardboard silhouette, and in the back of it's usually like a pile of sand to stock your broadhead. So, you know, you don't want to sharpen them up or anything before you go, but you run it just like a 3D course, except you're shooting at the silhouette, and it goes through the cardboard silhouette and into the pile of dirt. That's usually the way you do it, but it's still the same principle, and it's a good way to tune your hunting arrows.
Excellent. Nick View, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan. Going to be a big time. You've got the one coming to Charlton Park. You've got several other shoots. Of course, again, they are at michiganlongbow.org and the Great Lakes Longbow Invitational, August 7th through 9th, Charlton Park in Hastings. And if you've never been to Charlton Park, it's very cool because they have taken a whole town, moved it there, and set it up. And you've got, like you said, the lake and some shooting. And it is an event for the whole family to get involved because archery is for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. And it's great for the kids to run around, too. It's a very kid-friendly event. And there is something for everybody to do. I mean, we've even got a cast iron cook-off, and where people can get the coals heated up and you know, cook over cast iron. And, I mean, it seems like we're adding events to this thing every single year. It's just a good time. It's nice and laid back. It's a good camping weekend. You know, it's not the kind of shoot where we have a lot of seminars and stuff like that. People really just want to go hang out with their families, talk to their friends. I mean, we're a big family, and everybody wants to see each other.
Absolutely. Nick View, I appreciate you joining us. MichiganLongbow.org is his website, their website, rather. He is the president of the Michigan Longbow Association, and lots of big events coming up. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if you want to go right to the website for the event, it's MichiganLongbow.org/GLLI.
All right. Those are there. You can get that link from our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to Jenny Olson. 16 years on Michigan Out of Doors TV. A link to their website, which is michiganoutofdoorstv.com. You can find them there. Got a whole another hour coming your way. We'll speak with Captain Jim Lucky Miller, Lucky Dog Charters. We're going to recap our trip we took with Jenny, and you can also see that trip coming up on Michigan Out of Doors TV and your local PBS stations coming up on August 9th. Thanks to Lucky Buck, HHA Sports, Costa Sunglasses, MUCC, and thanks to you especially for checking us out. It's wildmichiganradio.com on the Wild Michigan Talk Network.